Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com, here on BlogTalkRadio.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. I want to remind you that if you're listening to us by the simulcast during the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 o'clock p.m., that time slot here on Monday evenings, we're so glad to have you. But if you're listening to us on any other social media platform or during any other times during the week, please contact us here at LiveDeliverance.com. And give us the times, the dates, and the locations of platforms that you're listening to us on. Although we would love to proliferate the airways, we must do it legally, ethically, and in righteousness. So if you hear our content through any other means, it is the result of internet piracy and copyright infringement. And all those that participate in any internet piracy can be prosecuted by federal agents. Now, having said all that, we can get down to the business of the kingdom. So go ahead and get a pen and some paper. And if you have any comments or any questions about tonight's ministry, when we get to the end of the broadcast, we will give you the opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. So now, if you would, join me in a word of prayer as we sanctify our time together. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my mouth be accepted, and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For cause you flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me, and I'll decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this is a part four of the supply of grace. And as sons of God, we need to understand that the function and supply of grace is not just here to cover my mistakes. It is rather the demark of my growth, because we go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. So then the grace that I stand in today, I'm going to have to grow to what God has as an expectation for me tomorrow. We're the ones that are supposed to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So then it would help if we begin to walk in where he strengthens us. I'll say that again. It would do us good if we would walk in the grace that he has supplied to cause us to grow up, to cause us to enjoy increase. See, we have to cause our thinking, our heart, to allow the will of God to be done right where we are, the place where we can get out the way and let him have his way. Okay, grace is probably been misunderstood or misrepresented to us, and that no fault of someone else, but it's just because we didn't study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God. See, we should never go to the Bible and then leave with what even a pastor or teacher would say. Let's take what they pointed our eyes to, pointed our understanding to, and let the word do what the word has said it would do. It says the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalms 119, 130. It says it gives understanding to the simple. So then we need to participate in the plan of God. Go to it. Amen for the fivefold ministry that caused you to awaken to whatever the scripture has allowed you to grow in. Okay? And as we do that, then we'll be able to walk as sons, not as victims any longer. We would walk victorious. Just so that you can see a picture, as the son of a king, you don't walk in fear. You don't walk in lack because you are the son of a king. Jesus gave us that as a right, an inheritance. This is an interesting time. When we say things like that now, it doesn't have the same impact because it's been perverted. We are in the midst of dealing with a lot of things societally with the passing or the set aside in the law in the Supreme Court when they set aside a Roe v. Wade. Okay, the court said they're not going to get involved in that at that level, which is what they never should have done. But people trying to appease other people that were fussing, complaining, and whatever, they did that. But that's not the way we should be functioning. I said he gave us a right and inheritance. Execute a right means that you have to do the things necessary to maintain that right, whatever the right is. And if you don't do that, then you make yourself unworthy, unable, okay? Because you don't even know what the right or inheritance was. There are plenty of people that live today, and they have an inheritance waiting on them through their relatives, in the natural we're talking about. But because they might be have moved away from that state, and they don't get to get the probate that was given to them by the person that bequeathed all of these rights and benefits to them. And if they don't go and pursue that and stand in the place where all of the requirements are met, they're not going to get the inheritance that was left to them. It's still theirs, but they won't get it. My mother left an inheritance for her grandchildren, okay? And it was not anything that she told the family, but it was something that she did. And then when she passed, it was not understood that that was active. And so then some years after, in fact, I think it was when my father passed, then my sister began to look at the paperwork that was in that place, the secret place of the house. And as she did that, she noticed that there were the insurance provisions of inheritance that was given to my son. And so then she began to call. Now, I've already moved to Atlanta. I'm no longer in Gary, which was 30 minutes away from Chicago, and that's where my son lived. But the execution was coming out of Gary, but I didn't live in Gary anymore. I had moved some 15, maybe 20 years, at least 15 years after that. And so my sister said, she called, and she said, I'm calling about the inheritance that was left to Damien. And so they said, well, we didn't know where he lived. And so she said, okay, well, now we know. Can we activate that? And they said, well, it's been it's because of the time, administrative fees have incurred. Okay, and so the amount that was left now is less than $30. Okay, we're talking $10,000 plus. Okay, y'all. So then I began to ask the question, well, what administrative fees are you talking about? You never did execute this inheritance, okay? We didn't know where he lived, okay? Well, the thing that's bad about that, especially with today's internet, you could have just did a search for $20, and it would have told you exactly where he lived, because he's been living there for the last, well, even now, for the last 35 years. So then if you did any administrative executions, you would have found him, but you didn't. And then you didn't find me, which was listed as the father or the person that would help you. You didn't do any of that administrative stuff. But year after year, you charged the account for administrative services. Well, that would be the same thing that the devil does, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So then he keeps you from knowing truth that would cause you to enjoy freedom, because the truth makes you free, but you didn't know about it, so then you did not pursue it and live in it. So then as we go to the Word of God, then we have to go and say, okay, this which I am reading is truth, and I need to function in that truth. Those are my rights and my inheritance. But see, if I don't present myself correctly, if I don't walk as a son, I'm walking as a beggar. Okay? This is some of the stuff, and it was religion that made us think this way. But we've got to get past that and go to the place where we function as sons. John chapter 1, verses 12 and following, gives us an understanding of what Jesus wanted to have happen. Okay? See, we've got to get to the place where we understand how to function in the supply of grace. Verse 12 says in chapter 1, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him, crying, saying, this is he of whom I spake, that cometh after me, is preferred before me, because he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. So then he told us right then and there that those that believe, he gave them power to be, excuse me, those that received him, he gave them power to become sons because we believe on his name. Okay? And he says this opens up to us fullness. Okay? See, it doesn't, because he was full of grace, he was full of truth. So this belief causes us to be able to enter into fullness. Let me just, you know, remind us that as I'm standing in fullness, I can no longer function in lack. Whatever the lack is, lack of health, I cannot function in that because the Bible tells me that the healing is the children's bread. So then I should not stand in the position of lack. See, I am invited to participate in fullness. Well, but this is cancer, okay? Cancer is not fullness. The Bible says that every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world to come, is subject to the name of Jesus. There is no other name given unto men whereby they must be saved. So I've been invited to participate in fullness because of his name. See, he gave me the power to walk as a son, to become a son, one that has rights and inheritance, privilege, if you would. That's not pride. Those are the things that we should walk in because they're guaranteed. They are already sealed in blood. And as I understand how the blood works, because the Bible says blood speaks. Glory to God. The blood speaks. Okay, so then as I hear what the blood is saying, I will hear why the blood is saying that. That removes pride. Amen. Because it wasn't anything that I did. It was the blood speaking. The blood is declaring my future. Amen. The blood is erasing my past. Oh, please get this. See? Because the blood is speaking. So then as I allow the conversation of heaven, see, because there are three in heaven, it says, and those that testify, I'll just flip on over there so you can see this. There are three that agree in heaven. 1 John chapter 5. Just want you to see this. So that you will begin to understand how the word of God can be activated in any situation because he invited you to fullness. All right? All right, here we go. Chapter 5. Oh, wow. Okay. Woo! Start just chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever, bless the Lord God, he's removing all exclusions that you come there with. I don't qualify. Okay, let's watch what he says here. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that is begotten loveth him that also is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I hadn't thought about this. When he decreed blessing over you, that was a commandment. It was not just the do's and the don'ts. That's what we think. When we hear commandments, we say, oh, that's a do and a don't. No, all of the commandments of God are invitations for you to begin to position your heart to enjoy good at his hand. That's the reason why he gave commandments. And so for you to have life and have it more abundantly, that was a commandment. See? Everything he speaks by definition is a commandment. He's speaking into the atmosphere that you now live in. And he said to the atmosphere, sustain them because they're going to live. Come on, y'all. They're going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. So then when he says it, that is a commandment. He commanded the sea not to go past this point. And it doesn't. Why? Because the word that was spoken causes the earth to function correctly. That's why your air is there, because he spoke it. He released it as a command for this is the love of God that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So then if you think that it's all the thou shalt not and that's all his commandments, you didn't understand. The Bible says he's commanded, he daily loads you down with benefits. How does he do that? By his word, a commandment. Okay. Verse 4. For whatsoever, so if you're not a whosoever, you can at least qualify as a whatsoever. Glory to God. Doesn't have anything to do with your class, your ethnicity, has nothing to do with that. Even if you are a whatsoever, he said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, this is connected to the supply of grace. See, but a lot of times we haven't understood that because we thought that grace was for my mistakes. See, we confuse things like the grace of God and the glory of God, and so we go to the place where we say, okay, mercy and grace are the same. No, they're not. Mercy is when you don't get the punishment that you deserve. You did the crime, but you don't get the time. In the Old Testament, what was happening is the Old Testament mercy gave you a bath, if you would, because you couldn't come in God's presence unclean. So he would allow mercy to bathe you, to cover you, so that when you come up to speak, talk, fellowship, you can do it because the mercy of God does not allow you to be consumed. Okay? So then the Old Testament, we saw mercy as a bath. But when you get to the New Testament, you find grace, because grace is when I get what I don't deserve. I can't earn it, and I can't demand it. It has been known as the unmerited favor of God. I want to dig into that and say it's God's willingness and his ability to work in my behalf even though I don't deserve it. It is his ability. So the New Testament, it ushers you into power. The Old Testament could just give you a bath so that you wouldn't be wiped out. But the New Testament infuses you with power. And to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. Okay? So then we need to understand that when we're talking about grace, it is an empowerment. Okay? Grace is always an empowerment. An empowerment is necessary for you to go from here to there. Okay, do it again. An empowerment is for you to use so that you can get from here to there. Okay. Mercy is so that you can stand in his presence without getting wiped out. Do you get that? See, we don't think about some of these things. I'm going to come back to the – let me just go on to finish this witness part here, okay? So this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. Verse 6, verse 5, for he that overcometh the world, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. That's why I was telling you the blood speaks, you see, because there's going to be a testimony, a witness. There are three that bear witness, that record, that bear record in heaven, the Word, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth, and they are the spirit, the water, and the blood. He put that there so we can see that there is testimony, there is witness already given. What gives that witness? The blood. And these three agree in one. See? So he wants us to be able to enjoy being a son. There are benefits and rights attached to that, but we need to understand how to function in it. See? The supply of grace is there. Everything that you need has already been given to you. It's on the inside of you. The Bible says in Philippians, I think it's chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and you are complete in him. Everything that you need, you got it all. You are complete in him. See? Because he wants you to win every time, all the time. Whatever the situation, it doesn't matter. You win. Because he gave you power to become the sons of God. And so just so that we get this, I was thinking about that because, you know, if I no longer need a bath, if I no longer need a bath, then I can use this power because of something Jesus said in John chapter 15. Let's look at that. See? Wow, Lord. John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking. Again, these words are in red in my Bible. That means they came straight from heaven without going through the process of man. Okay? The man, Christ Jesus, is speaking, but he was speaking as a prophet. He's not just going through, you know, something that somebody thinks. This is what he said. This is an accurate account, if you would. Okay? So since it is an accurate account, I need to apply it to my life. Jesus said, I am the vine. I am the, no, he said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bear fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. I didn't catch this to the day. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. See? So now he just told me again, I've given you power here, son. Now you are clean. See? You have access to this power now. Through what? Through the word which I've spoken unto you. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. Three that bear witness in the earth, the Father, the Spirit, and the blood. And these three, both of them, all six of them, if you would, they agree as one. So then anytime I approach a situation, walk in a situation, and I'm walking because the blood gave me access and the power to walk, I've already got guaranteed results. Did you see that? Because there's been agreement in heaven and agreement on the earth. The water, the blood. Come on, y'all. Come on, just so again, go back and get it so we can see. It says, verse 8, there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. So I got agreement in two places. I got agreement in heaven because Jesus is going to say some things about that he wants us to understand about the witness, the connection. Watch this. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. Men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. See, when you understand how to utilize the grace that you've been placed in, that you are now standing in, okay, because of the power of the blood that allows you to enter into that which you were prior not qualified to. But now, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. I mean, that's just good news right there. See, because of the supply of grace, he was full of it, and of his fullness I received grace for grace. See, that's God's willingness and his ability to work in my behalf, even though I don't deserve it. The blood was speaking. It was no longer me just begging and pleading. I had witnessed that was already established in heaven and established on the earth. Amen. See, I'm simply agreeing now. Okay, watch it, y'all. Watch it. Come on, come on, come on. When I agree with the spirit and the water, when I agree with the blood, I am creating a threefold cord that is not easily broken. Heaven spoke, and I agreed with the witness that heaven established. The number two is witness. The number three is divine witness. Okay? So that's what he's called us to operate in. Amen. See? Then he says, if I abide in him and his word abides in me, then I shall be able to ask what I will. Come on, y'all. When you have been given the right to ask what you will, that's a transfer of power, isn't it? Amen. Because I'm not going to speak what does not agree with the blood. I'm not going to speak that. So that's already done. I'm speaking how my speaking is agreement. My speaking is not begging and pleading. My speaking is very simply agreement. See, so then as I pray, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them. If you abide in me and I abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. That's my time of prayer, isn't it? And when I leave that time of prayer, he says, I leave with an amen. That's what the word amen means. It means so be it. I leave with the, and it shall be done unto you. This is how my Father is glorified, that you produce fruit continually. What would be the fruit that you know that the things that you require of God, that you ask of God, those things shall be done unto you. See, this is what the supply of grace was for. Before in the Old Testament, we would ask and we was hoping and pleading because we went there from the position of mercy, not knowing that we left with a guarantee. But in the New Testament, he gave us power to become sons. We leave with a guarantee. Amen. He says it, if I abide in him and his words abide in me, he said, ye shall ask what ye will and expect to receive it. He said, this is my Father's position to be glorified, that you bear much fruit, and this is the way you shall be disciplined by me. Disciples, disciplined by me. And as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep the commandments. You shall abide in my love, even as I kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may that my joy may remain in you, that your joy might be made full. Then he goes on again to tell us that the love is the way this thing has to work, because it was connected to me loving the Father and the Father loving me. Okay, hear that. Okay, let's go back and see these things. Have I spoken that your joy may be full? That you may, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Look at this. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See? My job, my work then, is to remain in the position where love flows to me and from me. Notice what he said. This is what happens. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Keep my commandments. Not thou shalt, see, wow. That kind of, in my mind, it releases or removes the thou shalt not. Okay? They're not the thing that's important anymore. It's I need to do. Naturally, I answer and address all of the thou shalt nots by doing what love says, by agreeing with the blood. I'm hoping that this is becoming clear, because a lot of times we want to argue with God from an emotional position. I don't feel like forgiving. He didn't tell you to feel like. He said, obey the commandments. Forgive if you have aught against any. That is a command. And a command is not a thou shalt not. It's a do. A command is an invitation from God for your next level. Because once you do it, then he says that you will have a joy that would be full and a joy that remains. See? You'll be able to ask what you will. He's past thou shalt not. Maybe, you know, because we think God is an ogre up there just waiting to zap us with lightning. If you heard what he says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. This is how my Father is glorified. This is the way it's set up. You abide in me, and the word abides in you. There's no argument. He didn't say you shall argue with me. He said abide in me, and let the words abide in you. Whenever there's an argument, disagreement, you're not abiding. You're wrestling. You might be testing. He didn't tell you to test the word. Amen. He said, do it. But because we've practiced, we've built an escape route for us. How can I do as little as possible and get the most blessing? But if you would just do what's in what information you heard from heaven, this is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He says, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord to obey and do all that he's commanded you, then flip over there. I just love the way he does it. He's bringing the word and making it alive right here, right now, so that you can see it. See? I know you've read these things before, but he's trying to get us to place them in the proper position of our heart so that we can simply just flow in the glory, flow in the grace. Let's look at this. Verse 1 of chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe. Wait a minute. He says, I've got to listen to God so that I can see how to do. Okay? I listen to God to observe. If I hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord to observe, and I hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord to do all his commandments. See? There is a agreement. Okay, did you see that? Notice he said to see and to do. There's an agreement. There were times that in my heart I would argue and say, okay, I heard that, but I can't do it. Yeah, well, if you are observing to do, you will. If you're observing to avoid, then you will not be able to do. He wants you to meditate day and night so that you can observe how to do. He knew that we had a problem, and he resolved the problem because he sent a commandment that would deal with the problem. Watch it. To observe to do all that the commandments which I've commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God would set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Then he starts delineating the things that we can expect to happen because I'm hearkening diligently unto the voice of the Lord my God. It lines itself up for us. When you allow your heart to become pliable in his hand, then he'll take you, wow, he'll take you and he'll set you. Okay, let's hear it again. He says that when you do that, as he's commanded us, he will set you on high. Whew. He will put you in a different position. Because your heart is willing to obey, then you change your life. You are on high above all the nations of the earth. And blessings then come upon you and they overtake you. Please look at that carefully. He sets you on high and then blessings upon you and they overtake you. Didn't say you work for blessings, did it? See, Adam didn't until the curse, Adam didn't work to make things happen because he was in agreement with the Spirit. He was in agreement with the Father. He was in agreement with the Word. When he rebelled, he was no longer in agreement, and now God says, you're going to function by the sweat of your brow. I mean, please understand, beloved, you were created to function in a sweatless existence. Amen. Sweatless. Because he set me on high above all the nations. And then he said, now, blessings, go find them and overtake them. Amen. Well, what blessings? Blessed shall thou, verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you again. The Lord shall do what? Command. See, if you keep what God says, if you agree with heaven, see, the Lord shall command his blessing, the blessing upon you. Oh, my God. He shall command the blessing. Notice he didn't say that he would command blessings. He said blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because he has commanded the blessing. Amen. So we need to investigate and see what is the blessing. Jesus said it was life and life more abundantly. The blessing. He has delineated every area of your life that becomes important to people. He shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, your bank account. He said he's going to fix that. He said he would command the blessing upon you in your storehouse. Whatever's in there. Come on, y'all. Come on, please, please, please. I'm just reading. He said he will command the blessing upon thee in thy, and notice it was an S on storehouses. Amen. But he said he would command the blessing upon you in your storehouses. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he will do this where? In the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. See? This is not reserved for when I get to heaven. This is not no pie in the sky. This is some ham where I am. This is some steak on my plate. This is in the land that the Lord gives me. Amen. The way that's versed there, written out there, it says, the Lord thy God giveth, which means it's active tense. It's not a past tense. It's active, perfect present tense, that the Lord giveth. In other words, as he's daily loading me with down with benefits, that's giveth. See? That's more than today. That takes care of my tomorrow. We're going to find some things out about that. And it says, the Lord will establish thee, a holy people unto himself, as he sworn unto thee, if you keep his commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. All the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure. What kind of treasure? His good treasure. The heaven to give rain unto thy land in this season, and to bless the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. If thou wilt hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. See? He's wanting you to be able to enjoy that, so that all the nations of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord. They will be able to understand God, because they see God in your life. Amen. See? They'll be able to get to the place where they say, oh, I just got to walk this way. It removes all of the stupid stuff, because I'm too busy agreeing with what the blood is saying in heaven, agreeing with what the word is establishing for me in heaven. I'm agreeing with what the Spirit is informing me about today. See? We've got to get to the place where these things work. So he said, now are you clean? Okay? Now are you clean? Now, why would Jesus say that? You know, because he wouldn't be saying that if they didn't think they were unworthy because of their filth. But Jesus said, now are you clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Abide in that word. Abide in, ooh, that's good, sir. Abide in clean. Because as I abide in clean, then I'll be able to ask what I will, and it'll be given me. But the reason Jesus said that to them is because they were astute biblically. They knew what the word said. And so there were answers that Jesus was dealing with. He was giving them because of the questions of their heart. Psalms 24 opens up why Jesus said what he said. Psalms 24, just the whole thing. He says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood. So it doesn't matter what you think you're going through. God established the world upon the seas. That which is unstable. A sea is not stable. It is in constant perpetual motion. Amen. It is subject to wind also, because the wind causes the sea to have waves that drive. But the word of God is established upon that. He founded the earth upon the seas. He established it upon the flood. Notice he didn't wait till the flood was over. God is working when the flood is active. He said he established it upon the flood with an S. Come on, y'all. Floods would represent a change of the landscape, because whenever there's a flood, the landscape is going to change. Things that were here will no longer be here, because the flood of a sea is going to change the landscape every time, all the time. Then he asks a question, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. He shall receive righteousness from the God of his salvation. God is interested in you receiving the blessing and righteousness, because he's the God of your salvation. That's what Jesus was answering in their heart. Because he's going to tell them to go and do things. And the question would be, am I qualified? Can I do this? And Jesus said, now are you clean through the word that I've spoken unto you? And if you abide in that word, and that word abides in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it will be given you. It will be done for you. See, he's restoring them by his word to sonship. Then he says, this is the generation of them that seek thy face, that seek him and seek his face. Old Jacob, Selah, think about it. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and then what happens is you will see things from a different perspective. Why? Because he has set you on high. So then he says, now, since I've set you on high, I need for you to stop looking below. Amen. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and then you will be lifted up. Your understanding will function better. See? And you will get filled with his presence, because if you lift up your gates, listen at it, if you lift up your gates and then you are lifted up, then he said the King of glory will come in. If you would, there's a difference from knowing about God than knowing God. Okay? Peter lived that out. The Bible says they took knowledge that he had been with Jesus. They didn't say that they took knowledge that he'd been around Jesus. There's a difference. See? When you allow him to fill your heart, then you live out of the fullness that he put in your heart. He puts into your heart, you can do all things when I strengthen you. He puts into your heart, there is nothing that will be impossible to you because you will believe. He puts into your heart that I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. See, he puts that into your heart so that you can then function from that elevated position. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? It is the Lord, who is strong and mighty. The Lord who is mighty in battle. Doesn't matter what you're going through, when you let him in, he's strong and he's mighty. He's mighty in the battle. He came there, all right, he came there to kick butt. Amen. He came there to smite your enemies in the hinder part, the Bible says. Kick butt. Okay. As I'm kicking the enemy in the hinder part, that means the enemy is fleeing. Amen. He's no longer in attack mode. See? So then when you allow him to come in, then he wants to show himself. The Bible says he's, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. He's going to show you how to win, because he's going to give you the victory. You will see they will come at you one way and they will flee seven. If you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. And on their way out, they're going to tell other people that were attacking you, other situations that were trying to trouble you, he's going to tell them, don't mess with this guy. Amen. Amen. That's how the children of Israel, the Bible said, they enjoyed peace round about them. It was said about the children of Israel, their God fights for them. Amen. See, he wants to do that in your life, beloved. He sets you on high above all the nations of the earth. And then he says, I need for you to now look at the blessings that's coming upon you to overtake you. Look at that. I don't even want your mind to be on your enemies anymore. I want your mind to be on the blessings that's going to overtake you. I'm too busy looking around me for victory than walk through possible defeat, okay? Walk through promised defeat at the hands of an enemy that's already been defeated. So he says, if you lift up your head, then you'll see the King of Glory show up. Strong and mighty, mighty in the battle. If you just lift them up, he will come in. And he says, these are everlasting doors. Come on. This portal that God is making, the doors will perpetually be open to this portal. And the first thing you're going to see in this portal is the King of Glory who's coming in, who wants to fill you. Because victory is all he knows. He has a track record of whatever and zero. See? So this is what he wants you to do. He wants you to come to the place where you know truth and truth makes you free. So grace is not here for your mistakes. Grace in the New Testament is a tenet that displays and allows us to establish the kingdom of God here on the earth. He gives us the ability to do that. Those sons that he's now given power to. Grace is for us to release on purpose, not by mistake, because Jesus released grace. He was full of grace and truth, and he released it for those that believed on his name. He used the vehicle of truth to get us to him. See, grace is the answer from heaven that's needed in the earth today. Grace is the answer from heaven that is needed in the earth today. We find scripturally that grace was used for, or is for, strength. Okay? And we see that in First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly in this grace than everybody else. Not I, but it's the grace that is in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. And then we saw Paul work through this when he didn't understand it, and God kept telling him, because he was given there was sent to him a messenger of Satan in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. It says there was sent to him a messenger of Satan. There was sent to him a liar. Ooh, this is good, sir. There was sent to Paul a liar, because everything that the devil does comes out of lies. Jesus said when he speaks of his own. He speaks of a lie, because he's the father of it. What he does is he takes your fear, your frustration, and then he takes your desperation, and he tells you in using those spirits to tell you that you'll never get out of it. He causes you to be intimate with fears, frustrations, and anxieties and frustrations and disappointment. He gets you to become intimate with that. Intimacy is the same word that's used for sexual union in marriage. And he knew his wife. Okay? They were intimate. So then the devil brings to you a lie. There was a messenger of Satan sent. So if he's coming from Satan, he's the father of lies. And he's going to tell you things that you already were thinking, and you agree with that concept when he told you to take every thought and bring it into captivity until that thought obeys Christ. But here we go. We want to say, well, if I'm thinking this, it must be true. No, it's of the devil. It's a lie. Whenever he's speaking a lie. If his mouth is moving, he's lying. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't come to make you feel good about doing this and that. He only comes not but for two. Okay? The thief only comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not coming to bring you a good party so you can enjoy yourself. No, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so then, since we've spent so much time listening at him, agreeing with him, then we put ourselves in a position that the word of God has no effect. Because we spent more time listening to him than listening to God. And that can come in all forms. You can, people that give news reports, and they're telling you all of the gloom and doom. No, that can't be for me. Because he has elevated me. He has set me on high. Why am I looking down below? See? He set me on high. He called me to peace. Told me to follow peace. But here I am listening at an evil report and wondering why things are going bad, because I'm spending more time listening to an evil report than I am listening to the word of God. If my words abide in you and you abide in my words, then your conversation changes. In Acts chapter 4, we see strength, because it says that, let's look at this. Verse 29, chapter 4. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Notice he says, we want boldness to speak your word by accompanying signs. The only way I'm going to do this so that they would understand that it's God is I'm going to speak boldly your word, and you will heal. You will have signs and wonders that may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. Notice it didn't say, and great grace was only on the apostles, because they don't think that anything that they had was their own. Everything was common. So then this great grace was upon them all. Okay? I just want you to kind of see that, that the grace was there for strength. It was there for insight. Let's look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for a blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It says the grace is here, bringing salvation and teaching us. See, it's for insight. See, we no longer have to deal with the school of hard knocks, frustration and disappointment and pain. That's not what grace was there for. It brings a salvation. It brings deliverance. It brings answers. And these answers appeared unto who? All men. Just because they're not using it or walking in it did not mean God didn't send it. Well, I'd rather listen at him. Well, he says, no, the grace speaks, and it brings salvation, and it teaches us. The Bible tells us not to do despite to the spirit of grace. See? It brings us the ability to do what's necessary to do. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It says that we see Jesus made little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with, listen at this, he was crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So it says that he was crowned with glory and honor. You were too. Amen. You can see that in Psalms chapter 8. It says that you were crowned with it. You're crowned with it. Your thinking should be, what is the glory of God going to do? What is the honor that's necessary here? And then when I understand that I was crowned with glory and honor, grace then stands up and helped Jesus taste death. Okay, you see that? It helped him to get to that place. Lord Jesus, I'm not going to get through this. See? So then we need to learn how to allow grace to do more. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm hoping that you're writing these down. If not, when you listen to the broadcast next time, you can pause and write. That's why I told you to get a pencil and some paper so that you can write down any comments that you might have, any questions that you might have. This is not for me just to display biblical acumen. That does me no good. I am trying to help you to enter into that which God has provided for you. Jesus said, I am the door, which means he wants you to come into another dimension. Amen. See, we are no longer blocked out. He says that we would come in and go out and find pasture. Come in and go out and find supply. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10 to 16. For he that is entered into his rest also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us, therefore, enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He says the high priest that we have is not a high priest that cannot be touched with our feelings. But he was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. So he's going to talk to us about that. Again, the blood is speaking. I need to hear what the blood is saying so that I can then walk the same way the blood gave me the power to walk. Because to as many as believed on his name, to them he gave the power to become sons. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find the grace to help in the time of need. It says that we should come boldly to the throne of grace, to the place where grace sits, abides. And then I will obtain mercy and find the grace that's there to help me. And Paul understood this. And he wrote over and over again, trying to get us to think of grace from a different perspective. Ephesians chapter 3, okay, gives us insight into that. So for this cause, verse 1, the whole chapter, y'all, for this cause I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of grace of God that was given to me for you. You heard that grace came, and I'm telling you about what grace wants to do. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery of grace being here for me. I got this information by revelation from him. And I've said this to you. I wrote it 4 times in a couple of words. Because of this, whereby when you read, you might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but now it is revealed unto his holy prophets and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I'm a minister according to the gift of grace, God given unto me, that is effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and make all men to see what is the fellowship of the ministry, mystery, from which the beginning of the world was hid, who God created all things by Jesus, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not in my tribulations, which is for your glory. For this cause I pray, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love, that you would know, be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and then you'll know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. See, God is inviting us into something that's above knowledge. It passes it. Knowledge is in last place. Revelation of the grace of God would be in first place. And then as I'm seeking that, then I'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. I'll be filled with that. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If the power is not working, then you're not going to be able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Your thinking is going to get jacked up, and you're going to be thinking about your problems, fears, worries, and anxiety, participating in the school of hard knocks, and he didn't call you there. He called you to be able to function in the exceedingly abundantly above all. See? Jesus wants us to participate in this truth. That's the execution, see, that I get. This is not a frustration. This is an invitation, not a rejection. Because of boldness, I can remove all fear. Okay? I can go ahead and participate in victories that's untold, maybe even never seen before. Because I function in what Jesus invited me into. John chapter 17, again, Jesus, this is a prayer. If anybody's prayer has got answered, we know Jesus' prayer got answered. See? And let's look at what he prayed. He asked his Father, verse 17 and following, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world to function in truth, to function in love, to function in victory. He didn't tell you to go and frustrate other disciples. He said, go unto all the earth and make disciples out of all men. So I can't go and tell the men that, you know, sometime it works, sometime it works, don't work. No, I can't tell the men that. I'm preparing them so that they can walk in truth. Because if they abide in him and his word abides in them, then they will ask what they will and it will be given him. Amen. Even so send I them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Huh. He sanctified himself so that the sanctification that we needed would come through truth, because he was full of grace and truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but those that shall believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So my connection to the Father, my connection to the Son, my agreement with the Spirit, is going to cause people to know that Jesus was here. And he came to set the captive free. But if I don't agree with the Spirit, the Father, the Word, if I don't agree in the earth with the water, the Spirit, and the blood, see, I'm speaking something different. Okay? Then what happens is my witness becomes weak. See, and the world needs to see the power of God. That's why he gave power unto as many as received him. He did not give intellect to them. He gave power to them. Okay. That they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. There is not a separate glory, same glory, that caused Jesus to overcome every situation and circumstance. Because he agreed with the witness of heaven. He agreed with the witnesses here on the earth. I've given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and loved me as thou hast loved me. I love them the same way. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory as thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the earth. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, for thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I mean, you can see how Jesus is connecting the witness that the Father gives, the witness that the Spirit gives, the witness that the Son brought to us and gave his word to go through us. See? It was all about love. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 10. It's all about the love. And how active, oh Lord Jesus, and how active is your love. Okay. Watch this. Verse 15, chapter 10. Wherefore the Holy Ghost is witness to us. For after he said before, this is the covenant that I will make in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And in their minds I will write them. So then that's an active process, isn't it? He did not say, and in their minds they will remember them. He said, because this covenant is made and active, he will put his laws in my heart and he will write in my mind. That's the renewing of the mind process. That's the Holy Ghost causing my understanding to be enlightened. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. Now where there's remission of these, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full of fear, assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He says that the thing that has happened is you're going to have your hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You can't keep thinking bad thoughts about what you did. Because Jesus said, now are you clean through the words that I've spoken. Having full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. I'm responsible to provoke you unto. I'm going to provoke you unto love. I'm going to continue to present love to you from the Father so that you can say, I need to go and participate in this love. I need to go and utilize the love of God. See? That's what my job is, that I'm going to provoke you unto love and unto good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Because if I have been moved to love, if I've been moved unto good works, I'm going to come to the place where I know that my love and good works have an account. I didn't say go to the pastor and live a big wig life. No, you're going to do better than that. Why? Because God sent his son into the world that all that believe on him would not perish, but have life everlasting. And he says, you should do this by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, there after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but certainly a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation that shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more of a sore punishment suppose ye that shall be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and he has done despite to the Spirit of grace. For we know him that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I'm going to pick it back up next week, again, right here, starting in chapter 10, verse 32, because he wants our thinking to be accurate, to be understood about what's the next part, how we function in love, how we walk in love and bring back the operation of love, which is going to be faith, because faith works by love. See? So then if there are things in your life that have been disconnected, that the flow is not there, well, then what we want to do is we want to connect God back to our heart, well, our heart back to him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So we want to get back to the place where we function from that position. That I'm functioning because love has been received by me, and I choose to operate in that same love. That I'm not going to be known by a knee-jerk reaction to this or to that. I'm going to be steadily consistent with my eyes on love, looking unto love, moved by love, covered by love, made victorious by love, so that my faith then works in exponential power, because love never fails. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you, wanting you to participate in love with his word, in love with his family. Which way will you choose? Father, we just bless you and we praise you. We thank you for your word that you sent to heal us and deliver us, that even now we can experience the breakthrough that your word has promised, that the darkness is now being dispelled by the light. It's being dispelled by the love. And we're coming back to the place where power can work with us, in us, and through us. We want that flow, Father, in these days, because you said you were part of your spirit upon all flesh. Thank you, Father, for doing in us what's necessary so that your glory can be displayed. We commit it to you as done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we've come to the portion of the broadcast where I ask you if you have any questions or comments about the ministry. So if there are, would look like the people, I get to this point in the ministry, and I guess people are not as interested in fulfilling their call as they should be, because we should be those that give testimony of the goodness of the Lord. We should be those that allow his grace to flow out of us so that we can make disciples. But I get to this part of the ministry, and I start watching all of the callers drop off, and I say every time, it's not to say that you're right, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm wrong. It's not to do that. This is so that iron can very simply sharpen iron. That's what is needed here, so that we can all grow up into a full stature of the Son of God. So with that being said, if this message has been a blessing to you, then we would ask that you fulfill your responsibility and go to livedeliverance.com and go to the donate tab and give an offering. Yes, I can say that there are three zeros in 1,000. I can do that. But I heard and understood that he said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So when we give whatever the amount is, we are then sealing the word that we heard to the actions of giving, and God is then going to cause increase in your life in multiple areas. So be obedient to God and go to the website and go to the donate tab and allow God to flow in your life, through your life, through your obedience. Amen. Also, then until the next time that we gather together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Until next week, which would be next Monday. Wow. Well, that's going to be, we probably won't be here next Monday because that's a holiday, and we sometimes allow the people to gather and fellowship. And so what we'll do is we'll get back together on the 11th and pick up with whatever God has. I don't know that it would be the supply of grace. That's what's on tap right now. But as we go through the next days, it'll be by his Spirit. So, again, thank you for joining us here at LiveDeliverance.com on Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, be blessed.